time, there was a radio show called The Eric Metaxas Show.
It had an announcer named Todd, who was the handsomest announcer in the land. Eric was bitterly jealous of Todd's good looks.
But there was nothing he could do.
He just had to accept that cruel fate had made him as ugly as a toad.
Here's Toadface himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to The Eric Metaxas Show. This is the beginning of Hour 1, not to be confused with the end of Hour 1, which will come later. Chris, Albin, are you tracking?
Yeah, I'm tracking.
Hour one of the architecture. Now, seriously, no joke. In a couple of minutes, we are talking to this guy. Has become a big deal in American history. His name is Carter Page. He is someone after whom the deep state decided to go to try to get this president hamstrung, kicked out of office. We're living in dark times, and whenever anybody says something like that, or in the past people would say something like that, I would kind of sneer. Or I'd go, oh, you're overstating the case. I have to tell you, I've come to a place where I am deeply, deeply disgusted at what I am seeing, nefarious activity on the part of what we now call the deep state, foot dragging at the FBI with this Hunter Biden hard drive laptop, all kinds of stuff that, you know, if this happened in 1774, they would think about a revolution against the tyrannous King George III. When you are not being represented.
And they would have said, what's a laptop?
Well, that too. But it, you know, when you think about the way things are supposed to work, people who get our tax dollars are supposed to represent us fairly and ethically. And when you hear that there are forces in our own government, we pay for them, okay? They're supposed to represent us. This is not like King George III was theoretically supposed to represent the English. This is our tax dollars. This is our government. There's no question that that ought to be happening. It's not happening. And it's the sort of thing that is utterly unacceptable. But I think a lot of people, like I say many times, they don't understand the way our system's supposed to work. They kind of just assume everything works. And when I hear about some of the things we've been hearing about lately, the Hunter Biden scandal is a classic example. Big tech also. I just want to say that Charlie Kirk, my friend, has been locked out of Twitter for a couple of days. Okay. You hear about this stuff all the time. They squashed the New York Post story. This is one of the biggest stories I have ever heard, that the vice president of the United States presumably is selling some kind of access for money to China, our ideological and otherwise enemy. Now, if there's a scintilla of truth to this, it's gigantic news. If there's more than a scintilla of truth, it's like world-ending, world-changing news. This is a scandal that, again, makes Watergate look like a little joke. So the idea that our news media refuse even to cover this, ladies and gentlemen, you better get angry. This is unacceptable in the United States of America. I have to say, it's just horrifying. So we're going to talk to Carter Page. His story is part of the larger story. It's kind of how it all started. But I have to say that I am beyond belief that a week could pass and that the major news media will not touch Joe Biden, will not ask him hard questions, have allowed him to get away without answering these very basic questions. And the idea that they call it Russian disinformation, they might as well say it's alchemy. They might as well say it's leprechauns. It's the most absurd thing. And you have Adam Schiff, a senator, saying things like this. I just want to say to my fellow Americans, these really are dark times. This is unprecedented madness and perfidy that is happening, and we can't stand for it. If we don't get a fair election, and if big tech and the press will not properly cover this, we have a crisis. So I hate to start out on such a serious note, but it couldn't get more serious than this, and I want people to be aware of it. I want to say we have some good news. Actually, the Alliance Defending Freedom, you know this, folks. These are a great organization that defend your
religious liberties. There is no legitimate reason.
This is kind of what it's all about, right? Like we're talking about, you know, living in a free country. Okay, this is breaking news from the Alliance Defending Freedom. They filed a lawsuit in federal court against Oregon Governor Kate Brown. Now listen to this. Oregon Governor Kate Brown has threatened private Christian schools with 30 days of jail and $1,250 in fines for reopening in-person instruction. Public schools of identical size in the same county have permission to resume in-person classes. What is the governor's reasoning? A governor spokesman said they want to prevent a mass exodus from public schools and loss of funding. And if parents pull their children out of public schools and re-enroll them for private Christian education, it'll cause problems. Whoa. So Alliance Defending Attorney, these are the folks we're hoping you're going to give to, Ryan Tucker says this is textbook case of religious discrimination. Even I know that. Here's a clip from Ryan Tucker.
There is no legitimate reason for allowing public schools with 75 or fewer students to provide in-person instruction while denying the same opportunity to small private schools, including religious ones. Governor Brown's refusal to extend the same treatment to Hermiston Christian School as she does to small public schools violates the U.S. Constitution and discriminates against parents who choose to provide a religious education for their children.
Okay, folks. This is happening now. This is fresh news. This is brand new. And the reason I wanted to read it is to say that this is happening now. It will happen to you. It is happening in America. If we don't fight it, it will happen. We have to fight it. ADF fights it. They are the ones that step up. They do it for free. So we need to support them. And I'm asking you, as a good American who understands we need to do these kinds of things, please give what you can. Go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner to donate $100 or whatever you can give. Please, folks, everybody can give something, or I'll give you the phone number, 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333. This is vital stuff. And to encourage you, we'll talk about this more. Actually, we'll talk to Carter Page for a while, and then we're going to go to Alvin Sater's barbershop. We're going to shave your beard. Alvin, this is true. Yeah. You said you would shave your beard. Yeah. If somebody this weekend gave $1,000, you will shave your beard in their honor and have their name tattooed on your chin. Did you say that?
No, I didn't say the tattoo part. You'd have to donate like $100,000 for that. But for $1,000, yes, for $1,000. And we did get a donation over the weekend for $1,000. So this beard comes off. Yep, this beard's for you. And we're going to announce that person at the end of this hour. And I'm going to shave it, the beard part.
Okay? So we'll talk to Carter for a while. Yeah. And then at the end of this hour, we will have the big reveal. And you're going to shave your beard off on camera. Now, people are listening on radio, but they can hear the buzz of the trimmer. And if anybody is watching on camera, not on radio, rather, they can see you do it. All right.
I'm going to be a regular Sweeney Todd. So
we're going to do that. I want to remind people also, if you go to mypillow.com, don't forget to use the code Eric. They have got so much stuff there. And I just want to say to everybody, he's a great man, Mike Lindell. If you read his biography that's finally out, you can buy it. You can't believe this guy, what this guy has been through. He's an American hero. If you can buy anything from him, please do. And make sure you use the code Eric. Otherwise, you don't get our monster size discount. And if you go to mystore.com, which is also his thing, you can buy Donald the Caveman books at like, they're practically free. I don't think I make a dime. It's like $11 a copy. If you buy the three of them, it's like $33. I think Amazon says you can't get one of them till December. So I would go to mystore.com. And most of my books are available signed and unsigned at SocratesInTheCity.com. I was just traveling. I was in El Paso, Texas, and I realized that half of my books, you just can't get them for one reason or another. The new Bonhoeffer book, most beautiful book I've ever seen with my new whatever, you can get that signed at SocratesInTheCity.com. All right, when we come back, we're talking to Carter Page. I want to beg you folks, go to MetaxasTalk.com, give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll be back with Carter Page.
Hey there.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, a very special guest. Perhaps you've heard of him. Perhaps you know his story, and perhaps you know nothing. Well, you ought to know it, and that's why we've got him here today. Carter Page, welcome to this program.
Great to be with you, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Your story, it's been difficult even for me to follow. Like, there's certain things that I'm so glad you wrote a book and that we can talk about this. Your new book is called Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. You know, Carter, unfortunately, this sounds like something out of a Tom Clancy novel or some crazy thing, but this happened. It actually happened. It happened to you. It's happened to some others, people that I've gotten to know. But your story, I mean, you were a graduate of the Naval Academy, a businessman, and you were working a little bit with the Trump campaign. And somehow the folks that wanted to get him figured they might get him through you. That's all I really know. So for folks who are tuning in who don't know your story, what is it that happened? Because I don't get the impression that you were close to the president at all, but somehow they singled you out.
Well, Eric, not only was I not close with him, I, throughout my entire life, my entire time on this planet, I have never met Donald J. Trump at any point. So I was a junior unpaid volunteer, just trying to support the Trump campaign with my ideas, et cetera, in 2016. And, you know, long story short, and I go into all the detail, I'd say, as you say, a crazy and long story, but I think an exciting one and one that my readers have enjoyed thus far. But bottom line, I was falsely accused. And, you know, these people called me a traitor. And unfortunately, as we've learned, and as more evidence continues to drip out as to what exactly happened in the last presidential election, we now know that these people who perpetrated this fraud are the real traitors. And, you know, basically, bottom line, what was done to me should never be allowed to occur. And, you know, basically, we're all at risk. We're all at risk.
I think that's the point. That's what's so horrific about this, that you think, look, if you go after the vice president, if you go after somebody who's a top figure in the FBI, you know, they've got it coming, right? That goes with the territory. But you were just an average citizen, basically, who happened to be in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time. And the idea that they went to the lengths that they did. Now, there are other figures that they went after. I've gotten to know a few of them, and they've told their stories on this program, Roger Stone, Jerome Corsi. But I just want to say that as an American who loves this country, it is really, really deeply horrifying, sickening to me that our government could get to the point where we would do these kinds of things. And so I'm thrilled it's being exposed. I'm thrilled that you know, you're able to come on this program and talk about it, and that you've written a book about it. Again, the title is Abuse and Power. But for the folks who don't know the horror of what government forces who wanted to take down this president did to you in the process, that's why I want to have you on. So let's start at the beginning, if you don't mind, Carter. Where did you grow up, and how did you, you know, end up in 2016 working as a volunteer on the Trump campaign?
Well, Eric, this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about in terms of the accusations of me being a traitor. I grew up as a Catholic altar boy. I was a Boy Scout for many years, achieved the highest rank as an Eagle Scout. I was, competed in a lot of sports in high school. I grew up in Dutchess County, New York, and my Congressman Hamilton Fish Jr., he ended up nominating me to the U.S. Naval Academy. And so I was fortunate enough to go to Annapolis, and I basically served my country throughout my life. I was very fortunate to serve for many years in the U.S. Navy. And actually, this actually ties directly to the whole fake Russia story, which unfortunately, Mr. Stone, Mr. Corsi, and so many others got swept up into. I actually, after I graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy, I was a honors political science major and a Trident Scholar, a very elite program there. And I was selected to do to join the Nuclear Affairs and International Negotiations branch on the Navy staff in the Pentagon. So I ended up doing a lot of work on U.S.-Russia arms control negotiations. So, of course, anyone who has ever done anything related to Russia, including myself, who is trying to advance nuclear peace and in the advancement of U.S. foreign policy, I'm a prime target if various bad actors and real traitors try to undermine our democracy. So that I think that kind of cuts, not to jump too many steps ahead, that gives a little bit, you know, my background.
Well, let me ask you,
other things, you know,
the impression that I get, and again, I don't ever want to be, how do I put it? I think it's important for us to preserve a kind of innocence and naivete. When we talk about the United States of America, to expect certain things that you wouldn't expect in other places around the world. And to know that whatever evil exists, that in this country we have traditionally worked to get rid of it. We've worked to make things better. That's a learning process, but our founders put us on a path that we really believed in the idea of we the people are the government. We elect people from amongst ourselves to represent us, a radical idea in history. And so when you get to the point, you know, 240 something years down the line, that you have a government so big that it is no longer in touch with the founder's vision, and it becomes corrupt and it becomes self-serving, and you get people as we now have in what we now call the deep state, who really believe that the power that they have, they can use to undo an election. And so forgive me for the speech, but I'm just, people keep talking about the people who elected Trump. Here's who elected Trump: the United States of America. There's no base. There's no group of white supremacists. It's that we had an election and the American people chose him. And that ought to be enough for all the characters in the deep state. So the narrative that I got is that they decided we will do anything to take him down. And once they had settled on this loony Russian narrative, they said, we will do anything that can help this narrative. And so somehow, I guess because you had some obviously legitimate ties to Russia in terms of being, you know, as so many people do, working, you know, in our government, they decided to go for you. But what was it? Give us these details. What was it that led them specifically to you? How did that break down?
It's actually another great segue, Eric, and it gets into the next several chapters, not only of my life, but also as I describe these details in my book for the very first time. So after I got out of the Navy, I was a research fellow, international affairs fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. And I had worked with the US intelligence community during my years in the Navy, but I continued, I had a very long-standing relationship with a lot of prominent agencies within the US intelligence community. And unfortunately, and this goes directly to your point about the deep state, I had deep ties with many career civil servants within those organizations, whether it's the CIA or the FBI. And unfortunately, you know, typically, I always tried to keep that secret, right? I mean, for obvious operational and intelligence reason, in terms of all the support that I gave to these agencies for many decades, going back to the 1990s. And unfortunately, as things continue to play out, basically a lot of these operatives were not only just colluding, if you will, between the Democrat Party and these agencies, but also, unfortunately, with the mainstream media. And so the mainstream media, and unfortunately, you know, there have been ongoing criminal investigations, and there's, you know, we'll see. I think we're going to learn a lot more from the people I know in Washington. Various things may be coming down the pike.
Actually, that's let's put a pin in it for a second. We're going to go to break, folks. We're going to be right back. We've got Carter Page. Don't go away.
Hi, folks. These uncertain times can cause uncertain gut slowdown. Worry and fear can wreak havoc on our digestion, making it hard to feel optimum. Bloating, less energy, and occasional constipation can slow you down in your daily activity. Try Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. Life Change Tea can help get things moving so you can get that boost of energy you need. Life Change Tea helps protect and defend your health from intruders. It's a weird time right now with all the uncertainty, so gear up and defend your health. Where do you go to purchase? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. The specials are on the front page, and we have numerous supplements to help combat intruders. It's time to take charge of our health and to feel better in life. It's time to live. Again, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com. It is so worth it. Getthetea.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to Carter Page. His new book is called Abuse and Power, where he details how he, an innocent American, was framed in an attempted coup against the president. You can't believe it. Unfortunately, it's true. Carter Page, you were just talking about things are coming out, and we're beginning, thank God, to see how this stuff has operated, and some of this ugliness is coming to light, and by God's grace, we will root it out. But you were in the middle of this, and you saw this. You said that you had some contacts in the intelligence community, and you were always quiet about it. Keep going along those lines. You were talking about that.
Well, one of the biggest blockbusters over the course of the last year is in December 2019, the U.S. Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General, a big investigatory organization within DOJ. They're the top inspector general within DOJ, a guy by the name of Mr. Horowitz. He ended up putting out this massive, basically 400-page report talking about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court abuses that were done between the Obama-Biden administration and the Democrat Party in 2016. And, you know, going back to your point about the deep state, you know, a lot of these operatives who had embedded themselves, burrowed down into these big, massive government intelligence and judicial bodies within the U.S. government, they continued and stayed on into the early months and years of the Trump administration. And unfortunately, a lot of these people continue to advance these problems. And also, more importantly, I think along the lines of what we've been talking about, they try to cover things up. They do not want the truth to be revealed. And there has been a lot of pushback. I think Congressman Collins has spoken about this. Several members of the Senate have been saying, both FBI Director Wray and also CIA Director Haspel, they've been blocking the release of so much of this information, which is
essential. But they are today in those positions. They were appointed by the president to those positions. In other words, even now, we have people that are at least partially complicit in trying to keep these things from coming to light. Why do you suppose, Carter, and I know I'm jumping here, but why do you suppose the president would allow Wray and Haspel to be in these positions if they are capable of doing these things that are the opposite of draining the swamp, which is what he said he wanted to do?
Yeah, look, I mean, the problem is, I mean, it's a network. These people and all of their incentive structures are to protect the people they've worked with and known throughout their entire career. So let's take Mr. Wray, for example. I mean, he worked with Mueller, right? And Mueller was the guy who followed on from Comey's, you know, what Comey started in terms of this terrible witch hunt, which did so much damage to our country. And we are still cleaning up the ripple effects of that. So unfortunately, I mean, these lifelong relationships that these people have, particularly people who have spent all or most of their career in the Washington swamp, when you have a guy who just literally 5 years ago, you know, started the first ever political campaign in his entire life, a guy by the name of Donald J. Trump. Unfortunately, you know, he's a newcomer, and the relationships that these people have, you know, their entire career and their entire life is built around this.
I'm guessing that the only kind of people that could do his will as the president and the will of the people are folks like General Flynn, and that is why they went after him the way that they did. So I guess my follow-up question or my real question is, do you think that if Trump were to be reelected, and by God's grace he will be, that he would appoint people like Flynn to do the work that he couldn't do in his first term? Because everywhere you look, I mean, it's monstrous.
I hope so. But I think you raise a great point, Eric, about how difficult it is. And you know, you compare. Let's just compare Mr. Wray versus General Flynn. Think about how easy Director Wray's life has been by comparison to poor General Flynn, who had all these terrible criminal acts committed against him. You know, it's a lot easier to go down the smooth path of going with the conventional wisdom, doing what your colleagues in this big cabal called the Washington Swamp prefer and are comfortable with, because so much power, and that's what part of the reason I call my book Abuse and Power. It's the main motivation for so many of these people who have lived their entire career or worked throughout their entire life in the Washington swamp is all based around preserving and developing this power. And again, just a side-by-side comparison in terms of bringing it back to the current day in this major election, the most important election of our life, which is coming down in just a couple of weeks. Mr. Biden, you know, he's been in you know, involved in the Washington swamp for 5 decades, I mean, as opposed to 5 years. So you can imagine.
It's absolutely unbelievable. We're going to be back. I've got to go to another break. Folks, I'm talking to Carter Page. The new book is Abuse and Power. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Carter Page. The new book is Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. Carter Page, I swear, talking to you, you really are a Boy Scout. You're an Eagle Scout. You believe in America. You believe in serving the country. And you're talking about people in what we call the deep state that have completely, completely lost touch with the founders' vision of America, where they've lost touch with the idea of loving your country and these ideas. And so they just do what they think is right, but they have no, it seems that they have no actual constitutional framework. The FISA abuses, all this other stuff, they're breaking laws, but they seem to say, well, it's in the interest of something greater, I guess.
Well, that kind of goes back to the topic we've been talking about is, does something greater to these people are more power for themselves. You know, all of these constitutional frameworks and core values, it's, you know, these are all secondary objectives. And there's also, I mean, the reality, and this is a longer topic, and I get into a lot of this in my book, and it's a core element of what myself and guys like General Flynn have been up against. But, you know, there's a tremendous money element to this as well, right? When in the whole concept of the Washington swamp is there are big bad actors who are pouring tons of money to advance certain political objectives. So many of these same bad actors that we're talking about are just backed with tremendous resources. So, and you know, and again, the mainstream media, which is also a humongous organization advancing all these things. So let me, you know, and I could tell you tons of examples. And unfortunately, you know, the collective protection society of this terrible racket is to, you know, it has prevented many steps towards advancing the truth or advancing freedoms and all of those core values that you alluded to, Eric.
Well, when you talk about, I have to ask you, what year were you born?
1971.
Okay. I thought it might be around then. The reason I ask is that what we're talking about, and I always want this to help my audience to think about the bigger picture. When you were 2 years old, Joe Biden was elected to the United States Senate. 47 years ago, Joe Biden became a U.S. senator. When you talk about what the founders wanted never to happen, was this accrual of power, career politicians who, rather than being Americans who would jump in and serve for a term or two or three, that they would become part of something and would have that kind of power and access to wealth and to obviously people doing anything to get close to you and to buy your vote, whatever it is. I just think that that's why this election is so important, because you've never had a starker choice between a man who in 1973 became a U.S. senator, huge power, 47 years ago, all these years he's had that power, and Donald Trump, who, you know, 5 years ago was an American citizen, you know, running a business. It's just so dramatic. And you got swept up in the middle of this because you, I guess, did you ever think that these powers existed? Did you ever get a whiff of it while you were, before this happened, that this kind of nefarious dark power existed in these organizations or in the bureaucracy is what I mean to say?
Oh, that's a long discussion, Eric. But let me try to summarize some thoughts with those great points you just made. And again, you know, to your point about 1973, you look at the abuses of and the whole impeachment process for then President Nixon, right, and everything he went through, spying in a political context. What happened at Watergate by comparison to what I describe in my book and what the Department of Justice Inspector General described in the Inspector General report is, I mean, those prior controversies are nothing by comparison to the terrible abuses by the Obama-Biden administration colluding literally, not just with the DNC and the Democrat Party and various high-paid, multi-million-dollar smear operations and, you know, very corrupt consultants that were working for them, but also, you know, the mainstream media and so many other elements. So to your point about, you know, could I ever have imagined, I think, you know, that raises another impeachment context in which I did live through. During my years in the U.S. Navy, while I was serving around the world, I was actually, you know, all 5 years when I was on active duty, I served in the reserves afterwards, but all 5 years in active duty, it was then President Bill Clinton who was commander in chief of the armed forces. And you compare what we've had happen this year where various operatives within the deep state have come out and just been very vocal to and acting directly against the commander in chief. That is completely unconscionable in my view. And I'll just give you one example. This Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who was who gave testimony during the whole impeachment scam earlier this year. I had similar positions with him as him when I was doing U.S.-Russia arms control negotiations in the Pentagon. That was also a 05 level position that I was serving in. I could, even though I had many disagreements, and I did not on a personal level like in any way then Commander-in-Chief Bill Clinton, I always maintained my discipline, and I always did the right thing in terms of following lawful orders. The precise opposite has happened in this case, where people are actively, you know, speaking out in both in the mainstream media, but also in judicial and legislative forums in terms of this complete impeachment scam that went on in the US Congress earlier this year. I could never imagine, you know, the commander in chief, while I was serving in the US military, me speaking out as a active duty or
it's a stunning thing. I want to we're going to drag you over, so don't go away, folks. More with Carter Page. Hey, folks, how about that Carter Page? Is he amazing? Now, by the way, we're going to continue our conversation with Carter Page in hour two. Yes, if you want to hear the rest of the conversation, because we barely got started, in hour two today, we're going to do that. And if your radio station doesn't cover it, you need to put a bag of dog poop on there and light it on a fire. No, you can't do that anyway. But you got to call them up and tell them to carry hour two. But if they don't, go to our metaxastalk.com. You can listen there. You can give to ADF there. And you can also listen on our YouTube channel. But Albin, Now is the time. Someone donated $1,000 and you've got to shave the beard in their honor. What's the name of the person that donated the $1,000?
Okay, well, the name of the person, I'm sorry, I'm mourning my beard. I'm mourning it already.
I know.
Her name is Deborah. I'm going to use just her last initial, Deborah C. from Pelham, Alabama. She gave $1,000, so she gets the signed copy of Hamster Homes.
Deborah C. from Pelham, Alabama. This beard belongs to you, Deborah.
Yep, this beard's for you, Deborah.
Okay, now, but you're going to start shaving it now. Now, let me just say one thing real quick before you start shaving.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Americans that want a part of that beard. Now, Deborah gave $1,000 to Alliance Defending Freedom. And Chris and I were just saying, you know what? She didn't buy the beard, okay? She got you to shave it off, okay? So it's kind of like she got you to butcher it on camera.
Yeah.
But there are people that are going to say, I want a piece of that meat. I want a piece of that beard. Oh, she paid to have it killed and butchered, but we want a piece of it. So anybody who gives $500 today between now and Wednesday at midnight, $500, we are going to mail you a piece of Albin's beard. Albin, we wouldn't lie to these people. It will be a piece of your beard along with one of your books signed.
That's right.
We better get shaven.
I got to get shaving. Okay, here we go. Okay, my wife's going to appreciate this too. She doesn't like it. Look at this.
This is live on camera.
Albin is shaving his beard.
He's shaving.
All right. Actually, you got to let me talk or the Zoom won't get people to see this. Here it goes. It's getting all over the place here. I might have to take this into hour two. I didn't realize it's so thick. My goodness gracious.
That's like brindle hair, like a hog.
Yeah, I could paint the condo walls with this thing. Oh,
you got to pluck that out with pliers.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is it coming? Oh, man. Look at that naked chin. Gotcha.
Oh, boy. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. This is great.
Is incredible. Ooh. All for religious liberty.
It is. ADS. Top of
some terrific radio as well.
I was going to say the people listening on radio are... or must be thrilled.
How many more minutes do I have?
Be seeing Albin. Albin, man, keep it going. Sure. Don't quit now. You're almost there.
By the way, the lawyer said I said only the beard. So now I've got the mustache. And if somebody gives $1,000, I'll take the mustache off and your honor.
Oh, you're a financial genius. You're a wizard.
I'm something else.
Look at this. So the beard was $1,000, but you didn't say nothing about that mustache.
No.
That's what we call in show business a loophole. That's a big fat loophole.
That's a loophole.
Or a cleft in my chin. It's a loophole.
Okay, now listen. You should take a piece of clay and get an impression of that cleft and send it to anyone who sends $1,000.
Oh, come on. This is going overboard.
We're
going
to make a lot of money off of your face, man.
Post office won't.
How much for an eyelash? How much to shave the eyebrows?
How about
I think $5,000 per eyebrow, right?
I need a nose reduction, maybe
this
something.
Is unbelievable. That's disgusting. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Deborah C. of Pelham, Alabama has paid to have this done. Deborah, I hope you're proud of yourself because you've done a beautiful thing for religious freedom and an ugly thing for Albin's chin. And now I want to say, if anybody wants a piece of the hair that's just been shaved, $500 in the next 48 hours, we're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll continue our conversation with Carter Page. This is sheer lunacy. Go to metaxastalk.com. Give to ADF. Folks, what more can we do?